Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, four lines down. The Gemara left off yesterday with a statement from Rav Dimi, who brought a memrot from Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan that's explaining their machloket. Chiyuvei mitot shogegim, v'chayvei malkiot shogegim, v'devar acher, Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, Reish Lakish amar patur. That they have a fundamental machloket with regards to shogeg, whether shogeg, by punishments that if they were done by mezid, would be kamlei derabbi minei, would eliminate the need for compensation, the need for the monetary payment. What happens if that happens bishogeg? Bishogeg, clearly the punishment is not going to be given, but is the severity of the crime or the possibility of the punishment enough to eliminate the payment? Rabbi Yochanan says no, and Reish Lakish says yes. And therefore we explain their positions, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, based on that. Now Rava comes with the statement, it says, Amar Rava, Umi ikan lamanta amar, chayeve mito chogim chayavim. Is there anybody who says that when it comes to a chiyuv mita, that ends up being a case of shogeg, that you are chayav to pay, that there isn't kamalei derabbi minei? Rava's assumption is that by mito chogim, everybody agrees that there is kamalei derabbi minei. Don't we have this braita from Bechizkia? Makeh Adam u'makeh Behema. We have makah written by Adam, we have makah written by Behema. Ma makah Behema lo chilakta bo ben shogeg ben mezid ben mitkabein l'shein mitkabein ben derech yiridah l'derech aliyah l'pocho mamon elo l'chaivo mamon, to make you patur, but rather to obligate you in payment. Af makeh Adam, so too by the injury or the hit caused by a person, lo tachlok bo ben shogeg ben mezid ben mitkaven sheinu mitkaven ben derech yiridah lederech aliyah lechayvo mamon elo lepodro mamon, to make him chayav, but rather to exempt him from mamon. All right, the limud here is based on a pasuk that's found at the end of Parshat Emor. At the end of Parshat Emor, there's a little parshia there that deals with injuries caused by an individual, injuries caused by an animal, death caused by an animal, and death caused by a human being. Then there's a pasuk there that seemingly is extraneous, which is, umakeh behema yishalemeno, umakeh adam yumat. Person who injures an animal will pay for it. Umakeh adam yumat. Person who kills another individual will be faced with the death penalty. Interestingly enough, the pasuk seems completely unnecessary. It's giving us information which seems obvious. And therefore, the Gemara darshins it based on the fact that it is extraneous, and it says makeh behema and makeh adam. What the Gemara says is that there is a parallel between the makeh of a behema and the makeh of adam. By makeh behema, person is chayav, person is obligated to pay, and that's what the Tanya de Bechizkiya says, is that they're obligated to pay no matter what. No matter what the circumstances are, the person is held accountable for the damage that is done, and adam is always mu'ad, he's always held accountable for his actions, and therefore, no matter what the circumstances are, he's going to have to pay. Makeh adam yumat, person who kills another individual will face the death penalty, but in that way, there also will be kamalei derabbi minei and be patur. Now, the easiest parallel would have been to say, just like you're chayav to pay by behema, you're chayav to pay by mita. Obviously, that is not the explanation of the pasuk, because we know for sure, if a person kills b'mezid, that there is kamalei derabbi minei and they won't pay money. So what the Gemara says is the parallel in the pasuk is the way that a person is chayav by behema, they will be patur by adam. That means that no matter what happened, the person will have to compensate, pay for the damage done to the behema. And no matter what happens, if someone is killed, then there is no payment of money. The person is patur, they're exempt because of kamalei derabbi minei. So now the Braita lists three pairs of items. Shogeg mezid, mitkavenin, mitkaven, derech yudah, derech aliyah. Each of these, as Tosafot says, is important. Shogeg mezid is important to our sugya here, which is that mitat mezid and mitat shogeg doesn't matter which one. Doesn't matter if the killing was done by shogeg or by mezid. It exempts you from any monetary obligations that you caused at the same time that you killed the individual. So that's the kamalei derabbi minei. That's what we're after, which is that whether it's mezid, whether it's shogeg, everybody agrees that there is kamlei derabbi minei. Number two is ben mitkavein, the sheinu mitkavein. This goes to the machloket that we saw 2 days ago, But we saw there's a machlok between Rabbi and the Chachamim as to whether when a person is mitkaven larogetzeh, ve'aragetzeh, person intends to kill one individual and kills another individual, are you held culpable in that case? Chachamim say yes. Rabbi says no. So here it says, ben mitkaven, ben enu mitkaven, like the shita of the Chachamim. That's a reference to that. Derech Yirida, Derech Aliyah is a reference to Galut. Person can only be put into Galut when there is Derech Yirida, when the killing happens unintentionally in a downward motion. But in an upward motion, the person doesn't go to Galut. That's a Gemara in Makot. It's a Gzerat HaKatuv. As such, that only Derech Yirida, not Derech Aliyah. So those are the three categories of items that are brought over here. And what the Gemara says is, just like by Makeh Be'imah, the person will be held accountable for the damage done, no matter what the circumstances are. So too, by Makeh Adam, when a person hits another individual and then kills them, then in that instance, they will be patur. They will be exempt from payment. They will have kamalei d'rabba minei. The result of that is that even b'shogeg, we see that there is a din of kamalei d'rabba minei. If that's the case, how come Rav Dimi is saying that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about this point? The Tanit Beit Chizkiya says it's definitive. Shogeg is kamalei d'rabba minei. Now, Tosafot already raises the issue. Other Rishonim raised the issue. So, okay, Tanit Beit Chizkiya holds that way. Who says that everybody holds that way? Why are we so certain that Ravak says everybody holds like this because of Tanit Beit Chizkiya? What do you mean Tanit Beit Chizkiya? There's other Tanaim that argue, and Tosafot actually brings other cases in Shas where we find Tanaim that argue. Tosafot narrows that machloket down and says that there really aren't so many machloket, or it's a much narrower machloket than we thought. But then he says two things. One is that Tana de Beit Chizkiya carries a lot of weight, because Chizkiya is the son of Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya is the one who was Mesader the Braitot. He's a Talmid of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he was Mesader the Braitot. And therefore, a Tana de Beit Chizkiya is a Braita brought from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chiya. It's his son bringing it, and therefore carries extra weight. Carries a lot of weight, and therefore we will assume that Tana de Beit Chizkiya is something that is muskam al kol because of the nature or the mesora by which it comes from, and it will carry extra weight. That's number one. Number two is, even in the places where we find people argue on Tana de Beit Chizkiya, this one in particular, it's a dat yachid in general that argues, and it's not the general position of the Tanaim. Number three is, our Mishnah actually supports this. Our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah says that in the case of Me'anes, where there would have been a Chiyuv Skila involved, in that case, our Mishnah says that you are patur from the Knas. Now, Rabbi Yochanan already set up our Mishnah in a case where there was no Hatra'ah. There's no Hatra'ah, that means there's no Mezid, it is a Shogeg. So it's a case of Shogeg, and yet in the upcoming Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Zayin, it says that a person who's Me'anes Bito is patur from the Knas. Well, why is that? Well, if there's no Hatra'ah, we're talking about a case of Shogeg. And if it's a case of Shogeg, and it's a Chiyuv Mita, what do you see? You see, there is commonly the Rabbeinu in a case of Shogeg. So actually, it's Muduyak, according to Rabbi Yochanan, from our Mishnah. You don't even have to go to Tana de Beit Chizkiya. You could get this out of the Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan. So how could Rabbi Yochanan himself, the way that Rav Dimi brings him, say that you're Chayav when it's Mita Shogeg, and there is no commonly the Rabbeinu? The way that Rabbi Yochanan explains our Mishnah, it's obvious from the Mishnah that that's not the case. So why didn't the Gemara just quote the Mishnah? Why is it quoting Tana de Beit Chizkiya? So Tosafot again says here that Enoch Hanami, we could have learned it out of the Diok of the Mishnah. It was just straightforward in Tana de Beit Chizkiya. Tana de Beit Chizkiya basically is utilizing our Mishnah and says exactly what our Mishnah says, but just says it straight out. So you don't have to go to a Diok. You can see it laid out right in front of you. So Enoch Hanami, you could have gotten out of the Mishnah. It might even be why Tana de Beit Chizkiya says this. But given that, there's no way we can say that Rabbi Yochanan believes there is no kamli d'rabim minei when it comes to mitat shogegim. Therefore, Ella, kiata Ravin. So we know that Rav Dimi and Ravin travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. And most of the time they're bringing memrot from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel. The major memrot they bring are from Rabbi Yochanan. In general, they're bringing Rabbi Yochanan, who is a dmut gadol in Eretz Yisrael. He's a huge persona in terms of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, both from the fact of his tremendous erudition, but also because he lives a very long time. And therefore, his memrot are very important. And Rav Dimi and Ravin are bringing them back to Eretz Yisrael. So before we had a report from Rav Dimi as to what the machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was. The Gemara rejected that and said it just can't be. And now we have a report from Ravin as to what the machloket is, and here it's an adjusted machloket that conforms to the fact that everybody agrees that by shogeg there is kamle derabim ne. Elikiata Ravin Amar chayove mitot shogegin kuli amalo plige de biturim. Everybody agrees that when you have a case of shogeg by mita, there is kamle derabim ne, and you are patur. Ki plige bechayove malkot shogegin. Question is, when you have a chiyuv malkot bishogeg. The devaracher means an a monetary obligation. In a case where there is a clash between malkot and monetary obligation, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan that says there's no shtei rishaot, there's no kedei rishato. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, chayavei mitot itkush, chayavei malkiot lo itkush. There, the pasuk that we just brought said that there's a parallel between makeh behema yishalmena and makeh adam yumat. And since you do have that parallel, that's what teaches us that by chiyuve mitot shogeg that there is kamle derabim minei, but only by chiyuve mitot. We don't have that hekesh by the case of malkiot. And since we don't have that by the case of malkiot, malkiot will not be subject to the rules of mezid and shogeg. Only mezid will protect you. Or we will say kidei rishato, but not by the case of shogeg. Again, this goes back to the fact that the source for lokei and mishalim is different than the source of mita and mishalim. By the case of kamalei d'rabba mine, when it comes to mita and mamon, the source for that is imasoniyeh. It's from the case where they hit a woman who is pregnant and cause her to miscarry. That's where you learn kamalei d'rabba mine from. On the other hand, the limud for eno lokei mishalim is from kedei rishato. So Rabbi Yochanan basically says the din is different. By the case of kamalei d'rabba mine, it applies both by mizid and by shogeg. There is kamalei d'rabba mine. Kedei rishato only applies in a case of mezid. Malkot will be poter you from monetary compensation when it's b'mezid, not when it is b'shogeg. On the other hand, Reish Lakish amar patur. Reish Lakish says, no, even malkiot b'shogeg protect you. The Feirush Ribta Torah, chayavei malkiot, kechayavei mitot. The Torah explicitly includes chayavei malkot like chayavei mitot. Heichan Ribta Torah, where is this riboy? Amar Abaye Atyo Rasha Rasha. That we have a Zera Shava of Rasha Rasha, Nemar B'chayavei Mitot, Asher Hu Rasha Lamut. And by Chayavei Malkot, it says, Vaya Im Bin Hakota Rasha. So there you see that mentioned by Malkiot is the word Rasha. Mentioned by Chayavei Mitot is the word Rasha. What you see from that is that there's a parallel between Mita and Malkot. Just like by Mita, Mezid and Shogeg grant you Kamalei D'Rabbi Minei, so too by Malkiot, both Mezid and Shogeg will grant you the protection that you don't have to pay in those cases because of Kedei Rishato. Rav Amar Atya Maka Maka. That we have a Gzeira Shova of Maka Maka. The Malkot, Nami Itkush Lamake Beheima. Lam Gzeira Shova, the Chayve Mito Tiofinan. We don't learn it out of Gzeira Shova. But the fact that Malkot are also called a Makeh, and since they're also called a Makeh, therefore we have a Zera Shava that teaches us that just like Chivyo and Mitot have protection from Mezid and Shogeg, so too by Chiyuve Malkot. So Amalei Rav Papa the Rova, Rav Papa Talmid of Rova says to him, Hi Makeh, which Makeh are you talking about here that there is a Zera Shava for, Makeh and Makeh? Ilema u'makeh beima yishalmena. Adam Yumat, if you say that it comes from the pasuk that we quoted before from Emor, that's written by Mita. The makeh over there is not a makeh of Malkot, that's a makeh of death. Because makeh behema yishalmena is a injury or damage or even death caused to a behema where a person's obligated to make compensation, to pay. Makeh Adam Yumat is a hit that kills another person. That's a chiyuv Mita. That's not talking about Malkot. That's not talking about a case where he's chovel b'chaveira, where he injures the person. Maybe there's a case of makot. There is a case where he kills the individual, and there's talking about mita. Elahai makeh, makeh nefesh behema yishalmena, nefesh tachat nefesh. So it happens to be the pasuk that earlier than that, which is, v'ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam, mot yumat. Person that kills any individual, mot yumat. Umakeh nefesh behema yishalmena. A person who injures, damages, even kills the behema, yishalmena. He has to make compensation. Nefesh, tachat nefesh. And that's the end of that pasuk. Well now, nefesh, tachat nefesh, what nefesh, tachat nefesh are we talking about there? v'samichle, and then right afterwards says, v'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito. The next pasuk begins, ish ki yitein mum ba'amito, kasher asa kein yaselo. So what do you have? You have the immediate pasuk afterwards is, ki yitein mum ba'amito, when he damages, when he injures his friend. V'ay lav makehi. So the Maris says, wait a minute, that's very nice, but I don't see the word makeh appear here at all. I see that you have umakeh nefesh beimai yishalmena, which is talking about injuring, damaging an animal. Then I have nefesh taka nefesh, a life for a life. And then the next pasuk is ishkiten mumba mito, which is that a person who injures someone else. So seemingly the juxtaposition between umakeh nefesh beimai yishalmena and ishkiten mumba mito tells you that there's a hekesh between injuring, damaging an animal, and kiten mumba mito, damaging another person, which is a chiyuv lav, the case possibly of malkot. So in that case, what would I have said? I said there's a parallel between injuring, damaging an animal, and malkot. And just like by injuring, damaging an animal, we say no difference, no differentiation between mezid and shogeg. So to over here, no differentiation between mezid and shogeg. My says, v'hai lav makahi. Where's the word makah appear over here? I don't see the word makah over here. So what's interesting about this is, what's the Gemara's question? There are two possibilities of how the limud works over here. Either the limud is a gzeres shavah, or the limud is a smichuta parshiot, or really smichuta psukim here, where you have a juxtaposition between the psukim. It's seemingly the Gemara is using the smichuta psukim over here, which is umake nefesh behema yishalmena. The next pasuk begins, ish kiten mumba mitom. If you say that, then why would you ask the question? The word makah does not appear. The word makah is not important anymore because you're not making a gzeres shavah. You're simply saying there's a smichuta psukim. There's a juxtaposition in the psukim here. Right. So that's the problem. The problem is that Rava said that the limud is makah makah or makeh makeh. Because of that, we assume that he's trying to make a gzeres shavah. If he's making a gzeres shavah, then the question of makeh is relevant because how do you have a gzeres shavah if the word doesn't appear? He says, Anan, haka'ah, haka'ah, ka'amrinan. What I meant is not literally that makeh, makeh, in terms of the gzeres shavah. What I meant by makeh, makeh, is simply that it resulted in a haka'ah. What's hinted to in the pasuk is a haka'ah, is a hit. So you have makeh, nefesh beima yishalmena, nefesh taka nefesh. That's one makeh. So there we have one makeh. The next pasuk is, ishki ten mumba mito. Yes, the word makeh does not appear, but it's clear that it's talking about haka'ah. It's talking about injuring, hitting that someone. So it's the equivalent of the word makeh. He's not saying literally, I have makeh here and makeh there. I have injury through makeh here, and I have injury through makeh over here. So both of them are talking about the same type of injury that is being caused. It's just one of them says the word makeh, one of them does not. It hints or it implies the word makeh. And that's what meant by the gzeira shav over here. So here it says, makeh nefesh beima yishomena nefesh tachat nefesh. So that has to do with mitah. V'ish kiten mumba mito kasher asa ken yaselo. So that's what you have, these two sukim that are juxtaposed that get you that limud. So now the Gemara says, v'aki k'tiv b'chovel b'chavereihu d'ktiv. That next pasuk, where you're talking about makot or an iser lav, is a case k'ish kiten mumba mito kasher asa ken yaselo. But we know what that means. That means shever tachat shever, ayin tachat ayin, shein tachat shein, kashrei ten mumba adam kenin taimbo. We know that Chazal darshan that to mean compensation. You don't get malkot for chovel b'chavero. You have to make compensation. We already learned that numerous times, that this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Even according to the one who says when you have loke and mishalim, that then you are get malkot and no tashlumim. The exception to that rule is chovel b'chavero. Chovel b'chavero pays and doesn't get malkot. So you're creating a gzeres shavah of sorts, or this juxtaposition between chiyuv nefesh beima yishalmena and nezek to an adam or chovel b'chaviro, where you're saying here's malkot. Guess what? There are no malkot in that case. The case of kiten, ish kiten mumba mito results in payment and not in malkot. Chovel b'chaviro parta shlomimu. The chovel b'chaviro is, makes compensation. He doesn't give malkot. Imenu inyan lahaka'ah sheish ba shaveh pruta. Since I don't need it for tashlumim, because we learned that out from yad biyad, we learned that out or ken yinatein bo from the subsequent pasuk, which is shever tachat shever, ayin tachat ayin, shein tachat shein, kashe yitein mumba adam ken yinatein bo. We learned that before. Davar nitan miyad biyad, something that's given from hand to hand. So there we know monetary compensation from pasuk Chof. Suk Yutet is Ich Kiten Mum Bamito Kasher Asa Ken Yaselo. Where is that coming to teach us? It seems unnecessary. So why do I have that pasuk? That pasuk comes to teach me that even when there's no Shaveh Pruta, we learned before, Rabbi Yochanan taught us this before, that when there is compensation above the level of a Shaveh Pruta, then, by the case of Chovel Bechaviro, you pay no Malkot. And that is whether it's the Nezek itself or any of the Chamisha Dvarim. If they're above a Shaveh Pruta, compensation is made, there is no Malkot. But in the case where it's below a Shaveh Pruta, Shaloni Tanli Shavon, the case of below Shaveh Pruta, there is Michila in terms of compensation. Therefore, there's no compensation made. In that case, a person gets Malkot for Chovel Bechaviro. So what the Gemara says is, I already have a Pasuk telling me about a case of compensation. That's Pasuk Chaf of Shever Tachat Shever. At the puzzle that ends, Kasher Yiten Mumba Adam, Keni Yiten Bo. So Pasuk Yutat, that says, Ish Ki Yiten Mumba Mito, Kasher Asa Ken Yaselo, what is that referencing? It must be referencing a case where is Pachot Mishave Pruta. Pachot Mishave Pruta ends up in Malkot. So that's how I get the Gzera Shov over here. Imenu Inyan Lakash Ish Bashave Pruta, Tneu Inyan Lakash Ein Bashave Pruta. It says, Sof Sof La Bar Tashlumim Ho. In the end, he is not a Bar Tashlumim. So therefore, what's the issue over here? Then you have a case, Ishki Yitain Mumba Mito is a case where he does damage of less than a Shave Pruta. So there's no conflict between Tashlumim and Malkot. There's simply one thing, Malkot. So you don't prove anything from this that you're going Malkot versus Tashlumim and saying Malkot Trump. And since Malkot Trump, we compare it, or we have a Gzera Shovel with Mita. And that says, just like by Mita, Mita trumps, whether it's Mezid or Shogeg. So too Malkot should trump, whether it's Mezid or Shogeg. Where do you see any compensation over here? The only thing that you have over here is Malkot. In the case there, when he was going to hit his friend, he also happened to tear his clothing, rip something. He caused damage independent of the injury to his friend. Because obviously the injury to his friend has to be pachot mishave pruta, otherwise you won't end up with malkot. So the case, the injury is less than a shave pruta. But on his way to injure his friend, he also did some other damage. And then in that case, the pasuk says, malkot, no tashlumim. So you see there that it's kedei rishato applies. Now the Gemara says, there's a parallel to nefesh tachat nefesh. So just like by mitah, whether it's mezid or shogeg, intentional or unintentional, so too, by Malkot, intentional or unintentional, that will teach you that, Kedei Rishato, you only get Malkot, no payment. So that's Reish Lakish's source, according to Rava. Again, Abaye's source is Rasha Rasha, the Gzeir Shava. Rava's Gzeir Shava is Makeh Makeh, but it's a figurative Makeh. It's Makeh Nevesh Bema Yishalmena plus Haka'ah, which is Ish Ki Ten Mumba Mito, which is also like Haka'ah. That's the Gzeir Shava of Rava that teaches us that Mita and Malkot have the same din. And just like by Mita, we say, Kamle Drabamine, both by Mezid and Shogeg. So too, we're going to say the same thing by Malkot, that both by Mezid and Shogeg, there is Kedei Rishato, and you only get Malkot, and no Tashlumim, and that's the Shita of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, Mita and Malkot are different. By Mita, we say that, Ben by Mezid, Ben by Shogeg, there is Kamle Drabamine. By Malkiot, only by Mezid will it protect the individual from having to pay the Tashlumim. By Shogeg, the person will be subject to the Tashlumim. And again, we've talked about the logic behind this, but it might have to do with the difference in the Kamlei Derabimnei versus Kedei Rishato. It might be that the problem by Kedei Rishato is you can't give two punishments. So since you can't give two punishments, if one punishment is given, the other one is not given. So in the case of Mezid, where there's Malkot given, there is no Tashlumim. But in the case of Shogeg, where Malkot are not given, then the person's going to pay, because then you only have one punishment, which is the payment. On the other hand, Bekamle Durabamimne, you can formulate it one of two ways. Either Chiyuv Mamon never gets off the ground because of the severity of the crime or the infraction that was there. The person who killed someone else, forget about being Chayav and Mamon at all. Or even if you say he is Chayav and Mamon, the severity of the mitah that is associated with it includes or subsumes in it that punishment. And so too over there. So you could say Bimezid, it's going to cover it because he gets the punishment. In the case of Shogeg, okay, maybe he's not getting punished, so it's not subsumed, but because of the severity of the infraction, maybe there was never any chiyuv here. Maybe it never got off the ground. And therefore, you could see why Rabbi Yochanan might distinguish or differentiate between Kamle Derabamine, which is associated with Mita. By Mita, you have different ways you can formulate it in a way that it's so severe that the Mamon is not even a question. Mezid, Shogeg, it's not even in the picture. On the other hand, when it comes to Malkot and Mamon, over there you can formulate it in a way where they're parallel. Malkot and Mamon are parallel. Torah tells us to give one over the other, but that's only when one is there. If the other one's not there, then we opt for the payment when the Malkot are not there. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan will distinguish. Reish Lakish will say, no, it's the same everywhere. It always has to do with the severity of the infraction or the necessity for Malkiot. And in that case, Malkiot will trump the monetary payment, both when it's done by Mezid as well as when it's done by Shogeg, just like it is by Mita. So now we move back to Tana de Beit Chizkiyah, which is Amalei Rav Chiya de Rova. Ulatana de Beit Chizkiyah, Damar, Make Adam, Umake Beema, Mimai de Bechol Ktiv. How do we know that that's written by a weekday? How do we know that Make Beema Yishalmena, Umake Adam Yumat, that we're paralleling over here between Make Beema, which is a case of Tashlumim, to a case of Make Adam, which is a case of Mita, because a person was killed here? How do you know that that was the case on Chol? The Lekka, the Ifluge. Therefore, there's no reason to distinguish. Dilma b'Shabbat k'tiv. Maybe this happened on Shabbat. Now, not that it only happened on Shabbat, but the fact that the Pasuk never tells you, it's a possibility that it happened on Shabbat as well as happening on Chol. Just as likely that the case that's written in the Pasuk can happen on Shabbat as it happens on Chol. That's the case. The Behema gufa ikel Ifluge. Then in Behema itself, you could distinguish, because Makei Behema Yishalmena, in that case, why would you say Makei Behema Yishalmena? If it happened on Shabbat, person injures an animal, injuring an animal on Shabbat is a violation of Shabbat. Therefore, you should have Kamlei Derabamineh. So now, I have Kamlei Derabamineh, how come I'm still paying for the Behema when it was Makei Behema on Shabbat? The answer must be, there was a difference between Mezid and Shogeg. In the case of Mezid, it would have been Kamlei Derabamineh. In the case of Shogeg, we wouldn't have said Kamlei Derabamineh, and therefore Makei Behema Yishalmena. Even if a person injures or does damage to an animal on Shabbat, where he's chayav for Shabbat, he still will have to make compensation because that's only a case of Shogeg. And then Tana de Beit Chizkiyah will fall by the wayside. His whole point is that there's no difference between Mezid and Shogeg. The truth is, maybe there is a difference between Mezid and Shogeg on Shabbat. When you hit a Behema on Shabbat, be Mezid will be different than if you hit a Beh Shogeg. It says, Lo sagadat cha dichtiv, umake behema yishalmena, umake adam yumat. It has to be a case where you hit the behema, you make payment, umake adam yumat, hei chidomi. Idulu hachubei, if there's no hachra, umake adam amai yumat. Then why should the person be put to death? It has to be a case of mezid, because otherwise, umake adam yumat, if a person kills another individual, they're only subject to a death penalty if there was hachra. So it must be there was hachra. Elabsita de Achrube. It's clearly a case where there was Hatra. Elabsita de Achrube. The Eve is Shabbat. Makei Behema Yishalmena. And if it's on Shabbat, what, you're going to pay? There it's obvious. Everybody agrees that there's Kamlei Derabamineh. Everybody agrees if it's B'mezid. You violated Shabbat B'mezid, there's Kamlei Derabamineh. So Gemara says, Makei Behema Yishalmena. How could you end up with a case where you're going to be paying for the damage to the animal in a case where you violated Shabbat B'mezid? Because you have Hatra over here. It's clear that the Pasuk's time at a weekday, otherwise we can't reconcile the Pasuk. So once it's time at a weekday, then Makei Behema Yishalmena is a case of just damage to an animal or killing an animal where you have to make compensation. That's Ben Shogeg, Ben Bemezid. It makes no difference. So that's the end of Tana de Beit Chizkiyah. Now the Gemara actually jumps back to Rabbah. Our Mishnah, so far, what we're trying to deal with in our Mishnah is the fact that our Mishnah says you are Chayav Kenas. How come you're Chayav Kenas if the Mishnah in Makot says that for these same infractions, you're Chayav Malkot? So how do I reconcile between the Mishnah in Makot and our Mishnah here? Our Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek in Tubot. So we had numerous answers. One answer was the answer of Ula. Ula says that whenever we have a case of Malkot and Tashlumim, the way that Ula reconciled it is, Kasavar Ula Koi Chadika Mamono Malkot Memono Mishalei Milka Loloki. Whenever you have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, Mamon pays, and you do not get the Malkot. Our Mishnah is a case of that. We have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, and therefore, Mamon and Mishalem, you pay Knas. What about the Mishnah in Malkot that says you get Malkot? That's a case where there's no Knas. What's that? That's a case of Bulgaret. A case of Meanes, but the case of Bulgaret where there is no Knas and there's only Malkot. So the case in Malkot is a case of Bulgaret. The case over here is a case of a Nara. And the case where you have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, Mamon trumps. That's the way that Ulu explained it. Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah, Kohecha de'ika Mamon and Malkot, Ba'achubei, whenever there's Hatra'a, Milkaloki. So the Mishnah in Makot is talking about a case where there was hatra. Mamona lo mishalman, you don't pay mamon. In a case where there is no hatra, then you pay money and you don't get makot. That's our Mishnah in Ketubot. So the Mishnah in Ketubot is talking about a case where there was no hatra. The Mishnah in Makot is talking about where there was hatra. That's the second explanation we had. The third explanation we had was by Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Amar Hamani, Rabbi Meirhi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir that says, Lokeh u Mishalim. He's the author of our Mishnah. Within Reish Lakish's explanation, we ran into a little trouble. And we said, how could it be that Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah over here? Rabbi Meir says, Lokeh Mishalim Itlei. The next Mishnah says that in a case of a death penalty, then you say, Kamlei Derabamine. How is that possible? Rabbi Meir says, you're Lokeh Mishalim. And the Gemara assumed that Rabbi Meir also believes that you are made to Mishalim. Rabba came back and said that's not the case. Rabbi Meir believes Lokeh Mishalim, that whenever there's a conflict between Malkot and Tashlamim, you pay both, and you do both. When it's a case of Meitu Mishalim, we say Kamalei Derabamine. Ah, what about the Braita that we brought about, Vicha and Mechira, the case where he steals the animal and then he shechs it, or he sells it on Shabbat, where he's in violation of Shabbat at the same time as he does at Vicha. Over there, we said Kamalei Derabamine according to the Chachamim, but Rabbi Meir says he still pays. So Gemara says, oh, what do you mean he still pays? So it must be that he holds meit u'mishalim. Rabbah says that's not the case. There's a chiddush by knas. By knas, there is no din of kamalei derabamineh. Kamalei derabamineh only applies by mita and mamon. It does not apply to mita and knas. By mita and knas, we say, no, kamalei derabamineh, and you would pay both of them. By mita and mamon, we say kamalei derabamineh. That was Rabba's chiddush within Rabbi Meir's shita. What the Gemara wants to know is, now, according to Rabba, how are we going to explain our Mishnayot? And that is, Amalei Rav Papa Lebayi, the Rabba, Damar chiddushu shechidsha Torah b'knas. The fact that the Torah says that there's a chiddush by knas, afagav de miktal mishalim, and therefore, even when there's a death penalty, the person pays the knas, matnitan kenman mukimla. Who does he set up our Mishnah like? Now, Reish Lakish set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, saying that Rabbi Meir believes Lokeh u'mishalem. So since he's Lokeh u'mishalem, Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. And the case later on where it says Mita ve'enu mishalem, that is according to Rabbi Meir, who says ain meitu mishalem. But according to Rabba's explanation, that doesn't work so well. Because what we're talking about here, by the cases of our Mishnayot, is a knas. Me'aneis is a knas. So if that's the case, in the first Mishnah, we understand why he's Lokeh u'mishalem. Because Makot and Tashlumim, according to Rabbi Meir, can come together. But, in the second case, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin that says, Bad Ma'anes Bito, a case where there's Skila and Knas, over there we said, oh, Reish Lakish says, no problem, that's Mita and Tashlumim. Mita and Tashlumim, we say, Kamli Derabim, meaning you get rid of it. So there, that's why it works. Ah, that only works when it's Mamon. When it's Knas, we don't say Kamli Derabim, meaning. So how is Rabbah going to reconcile between the Mishnah in Makot and our Mishnah over here? Now, because of his position within Rabbi Meir, that doesn't allow him to do this. Because his position within Rabbi Meir says that when you have a conflict between Knas and Mita, Knas is not wiped out. And therefore you're going to have a problem here because there's no Kamalei Derabamineh. And that will present a problem, as the Gemara explains now. Therefore, how does Rabbah explain our Mishnayot? Gemara says, E Rabbi Meir, if he holds like Rabbi Meir, Kasha Bito, then that case of Bito in the Mishnah, upcoming Mishnah, is going to be a problem. Ika Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane, if it's like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane, who says that Chiyuvei Karet are also Kamalei Derabamineh, Kasha Achoto, then the first Mishnah is problematic, because over there we have Chiyuv Karet and Knas, and we said we pay both, or both are done. We don't worry about it. So it's clearly not Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. And even though Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana seemingly holds like Rabbi Meir, as Rashi is Medayek over here, because he only thinks Karet overrides Tashlumim, but not Malkot, and therefore he explained the Mishnah as a case being like Rabbi Meir, where he's Lokeh u'mishalim, you still have a problem of Achoto, which has Karet. So fine, not because of the Malkot, but because of the Karet, you should exempt them from Knas over here. Ika Rabbi Yitzchak Kasha Mamzeret. If it's like Rabbi Yitzchak, then you have a problem with Mzeret. And Rabbi Yitzchak does not appear in our sugya. Rabbi Yitzchak appears in the Gemara and Makot and other places. Rabbi Yitzchak is of the belief that when you have a chiyuv karet, you cannot get Makot. We've assumed until now that in our Mishnah, if you have a chiyuv karet, there's also a lotase. And a lotase gets you Makot. So in a case where you have hatra, you get Makot. When you don't have hatra, you end up with karet. Malkot is given in the face of Karet. Rabbi Yitzchak believes that's not the case because it's a lotaseh hanitan the mita. It's a lotaseh that leads to a punishment of death. Usually we reserve that for mitot beitin, and therefore a lav hanitan nazarat mitat beitin does not get malkot. But Rabbi Yitzchak says is the same thing is true by karet. A lav that leads to karet also does not get malkot. So Rabbi Yitzchak says no malkot over here. So if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, that would solve some of the problems over here. Why are you paying knas in the Mishnah? Because there is no Malkot. Since there's no Malkot, there's no conflict between Malkot and Knas. There's only Knas in the Mishnah. So that's the first Mishnah. The second Mishnah, how come you don't pay Knas? That's Kamlei Derabamine. Because there it's Echiyuv Mita Beitin. So over there we say Kamlei Derabamine. The problem for him is Mamzeret. In the case of Mamzeret, which is Echiyuv Lav, over there we say that you do pay Knas. So how come do you pay Knas over there? Now the truth is, that Rabbi Yitzchak could hold like Rabbi Meir. That would be the simple answer, is that he holds like Rabbi Meir and he's Bokeh Mishalein. And that would solve your problem. The Gemara does not offer that alternative, most likely because, first of all, we never find Rabbi Yitzchak saying he holds like Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, we do find it by other instances where Rabbi Meir is brought up, and therefore we would say it. That's number one. Number two is Rabbi Meir is a Dat Yechid. Why would we want to set up Rabbi Yitzchak like a Dat Yechid of Rabbi Meir? And therefore the Gemara does not give that answer and just says Kasha Mamzeret. So the Mamzeret's a problem for the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now I have three different shitot. Now obviously there are more shitot in the world. These are the three shitot that we've dealt with in our Gemara so far. Rav Nechunya ben Akaneh, we're familiar with, who says, Karet overrides, there's Kamlei Derabamine by Karet. He can't fit into our Mishnah, we already determined that. Rabbi Meir, according to Rabba, cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because the Mishnah in Lamed Zayin causes a problem which says, Kamlei Derabamine, even in the face of a Knas. Rabba says Knas is not subject to Kamlei Derabamine. Rabbi Yitzchak can't be the author of the Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we have a case of lav by Malkot, by Mamzeret, and we say you still pay Knas. Even in the face of a lav, you're paying Knas. How is that possible? When you have to Malkot to Tashlumim, you get Malkot. You don't pay Tashlumim. So what's the case over here? So Hanicha Yisabalaki Rabbi Yochanan. It makes sense, or it works, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that the differential here is between Hatra and not Hatra. When it says, Unami Matarit's like Rabbi Yochanan, because he will answer, he'll have to say that the Mishnayot are like Rabbi Yochanan. Because if it's like Rabbi Yochanan, then the difference between Makot and here is whether there was Hatra'ah or no Hatra'ah. If there is Hatra'ah, then there is Makot and no Tashlumim. Without Hatra'ah, then there's Knas and no payment. And that's what will work out. Why? Because our first Mishnah is a case, no Hatra'ah, therefore no Makot, and you pay the Knas. The Mishnah in Lamed Zayin that talks about Chiyuv Mita Beitin, over there, Chiyuv Mita Binin will say Kamlei Derabamine. Ah, no Hatra'ah. That means it's shogeg. What's the din b'shogeg by mita and a knas or and payment? It's a bito. And the upcoming mission, Lamed Zayin, that's a case of mita. And even Rabbi Yochanan agrees by mita, even if there's a case of shogeg where there's no hatra'ah, there is still kamalei derabamine. The Mishnah in Makot is telling me a case where there was hatra'ah. Since there was hatra'ah, that's why you give Makot. So the answer is you'll have to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. It says that there is no kamalei derabamine when you have a case of shogeg. Since there's no kamalei derabamine, therefore you pay the knas in that case. Eli savrala k'Reish Lakish, heicha mitaritz lo. If he holds like Reish Lakish, how is he going to answer it? Because if he holds like Reish Lakish, that by the case of Malkot Bishogeg, there's still a problem of Devi Shato and you would not pay. How does he reconcile between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah Malkot? Reish Lakish solved that problem by making Rabbi Meir the author of the Mishnah. But Rabbah can't do that because Rabbah, in his belief of what the Shita of Rabbi Meir is, has a problem with the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin. And therefore he can't explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. So he clearly doesn't hold like Reish Lakish that the author is Rabbi Meir, because that won't fit into the Mishnah. He clearly doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan in that case, because he holds like Reish Lakish. But then he also can't hold like Ula, because Ula says when you have a conflict between Mamon and Malkot, that you give Tashlumim and no Malkot. The way that he's learning, if he's holding like Reish Lakish, is that even Bimalkot Bishogeg, it trumps Tashlumim. So, it's clear that if Rabba holds like Reish Lakish, he has no way to explain the Mishnayot. He can't explain like Rabbi Yochanan, because he's holding like Reish Lakish. He can't hold like Ula, because Ula is also a problem in Reish Lakish Shita, because if Bishogeg, Malkot trump Tashlumim, Ula says just the opposite. Tashlumim always trump Malkot. And he can't hold like Reish Lakish to explain it like Rabbi Meir, because Rabba's Shita and Rabbi Meir doesn't fit into the Mishnah. So the Gemara's conclusion is that he must hold like Rabbi Yochanan. And since he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to explain and reconcile the Mishnayot according to Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbah holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then we're able to explain the Mishnah as a case, again, like Rabbi Yochanan says, our Mishnah is a case where there was no Hatra'ah, it was a case of Shogeg. And since by a case of Shogeg, Malkiot do not trump, and since Malkiot do not trump, therefore there is Knas. And that's what the Gemara says. Eif Sarver Laki Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Nami Mitaritz Laki Rabbi Yochanan. Eli Sarver Laki Reish Laki Shechem Mitaritz Laki. If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then he can answer up the Mishnah, he'll explain the Mishnah in a case like Rabbi Yochanan. What's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is where there was no Hatra'ah. There was no Hatra'ah, therefore it's a case of Shogeg. Case of Shogeg, beholds like Rabbi Yochanan, Shogeg is not puter for the Knas. Since there's no Malkot, there is a Knas, and you have to pay the Knas, and that's how he explained the Mishnah. Eli Sabar Laki Reish Lakish, Heichai Mitaritz La. But if he holds like Reish Lakish, how is he going to answer? Because even if it's a case of Shogeg, how does that help you out over here? Elo Korchacha, Ki Rabbi Yochanan Svirle. For sure, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, and that's how he's going to have to explain the case over here, that he holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Rav Natna Le'abayi L'Reish Lakish Damar Beferush Ribta Torah Chayavei Malkot Chayavei Mitot Mantana De Polig Alei Rav Nechunya Ben Akaneh. If this is the case, according to Reish Lakish, who says that the Torah explicitly included Chayavei Malkot Chayavei Mitot, which means that anytime you have a Chiyuv Malkot, you also will be exempt from paying money, no matter whether you get the Malkot or you don't get the Malkot, and no matter what, you're exempt. Then who's the Tana that argues on Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh? Because remember, Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh says anytime there's karet, then there is kamlei derabba minei. In essence, Reish Lakish says the same thing. Because Reish Lakish says, if you have hatra'ah, then you have malkot. Malkot will then exempt you from money payment. If it's bishogeg, and therefore you do not have malkot, or it's the equivalent of not having malkot, then you're still exempt from the monetary payment, because he says that you're exempted whether or not you have a chiyuv of malkot or don't have a chiyuv of malkot. So if that's the case, then in the case of karet, you will also be exempted from the monetary payment. So who disagrees with Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh? Everybody's going to agree in the end that Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh is just the derivative of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is saying, malkot b'shogeg protects you from having to pay money. Karet protects you from paying money. They're the same thing. So who argues on Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh? So Gemara says, e Rabbi Meir, e Rabbi Yitzchak. It's either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak who's going to argue. Rabbi Yitzchak who says there are no malkot by karet, then in that case, it's totally a different case. It's not a case of malkot bishogeg, or malkot where you didn't get malkot that year chayav. Karet is a totally different category. Malkot's by themselves, and karet is by itself. So that's Rabbi Yitzchak. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he'll argue on Rabbi Chunya ben Akaneh, and he'll say karet does not have kamlei derabba minei, or doesn't have kedei rishato, and therefore you will be subject to kenas over there. Or Rabbi Meir who says loket umishalein. Rabbi Meir who says that in all cases you do malkot and you pay, there won't be an exemption for karet over there because malkot don't give you an exemption. So either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak will be the Tanaim that argue on Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh's position, who we said before, says that karet has a din of kamlei derabba minei. Right, Tarabanan. Arayot ushniyot arayot en lahem kenas velo pitui. When it comes to arayot and shniyot arayot, they don't have kenas and they don't have a din of mifuteh. Hamemaenet ain't like kenas. A girl, a woman who does miyun, doesn't have kenas velo pitui. Ailonit ain't like kenas velo pitui, and ailonit also does not have these things. Veyotzeit mishum shemra ain't like kenas velo pitui. So the latter items are easy to explain. Mamemenet is a case where the brother or mother married off a girl who was a ktana, and then she rejected that marriage. She annulled the marriage through miyun. The reason she doesn't have kenas mitui is because we assume she's not a betula. We assume that she married this individual. She had nisuin. She's assumed not to be a betula. So that's why she doesn't get kenas or pitui, even though she might be of the age where she would be entitled to it. Nevertheless, we assume she is not a betula because she got married. Ailonit never reaches the level of ne'ara. We said before that you only chayav kenas for a ne'ara. An ailonit is someone who doesn't sow simanim of a ne'ara. Therefore, she never becomes a ne'ara. That's why ein la kenas lo pitui. Hayotzeit mishum shemra. A woman is divorced because of shemra. This is a case where the husband comes to court and claims that lo matzati bitulim liishti, and he divorces her because of that, and we find no evidence to the contrary, or we have support for him. In that case, she gets knocked out, but of course, she's not going to get kenas pitui because lo matzali ishti bitulim. He didn't find bitulim. That means she's not a bitula. The Gemara will later on ask the question, what do you mean? She's subject to a death penalty. Who cares about kenas and pitui over here? This woman who is being divorced because she had an extramarital affair during the time of Erusin, she is subject to a death penalty. The Gemara will deal with that. But the first case of Arayot, Ushniot Arayot, Inlam Kanas Falupitoi, it's not clear to us what that means. That's what the Gemara says. My Arayot, O my Shniot Arayot. What does Arayot mean over here, and what does Shniot Arayot mean over here? Ilema Arayot Mamash. That Arayot means literally Arayot, and Shniot mi Divrei Sofrim, and Shniot are Arayot mi Dira Banan, which we saw in the Gemara in Yevamot. Now, why is it? Why are they not subject to Kanas and Pitui? I can understand by Arayot why they're not subject to Kanas and Pitui, because they're not ruim to be a wife. They're not ruim. Lo lo yeh l'isha. So we have reasons to say that. By the case of Shniot Arayot, came in Demoraita Chazile, since Mina Torah, he could have married them. Am I in Lahem Kanas? Why don't they have a Kanas? You're right. Midrabanan, they're not ruim to marry. But Midoraita, they are ruim to marry. If that's the case, then Mina Torah, they should be entitled to Kanas. And why would we say there's no Kanas over there? El Arayot are Chayavei Mitot Beitin. Shniot Chayavei Kretot. So the case is that Arayot are cases where the Erva is subject to a punishment of Chiyuv Mitat Beitin. Shniot is where the Erva is subject to a Chiyuv Karet. Aval Chayavei Lavin Yeshlem Kanas. And Chayavei Lavin do have a Kanas. So what we're saying over here is, in a case where the Erva, individual rapes an Erva, and she's a Betula, there will be no Kanas in the case of Chayavei Mitot Beitin, because in that case it is Kamlei D'Rabbah Minei. Chiyuv Karet, also, according to Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akaneh, that is Kamlei D'Rabbah Minei, and therefore you will not be subject to Kanas. Chayavei Lavin, by the Chiyuv Lav, Yeshlem Kanas. Umani. And who's the author of this Braita? Shimon HaTemanihi. Then it is Shimon HaTemani, who we bumped into earlier, who says that you have to be able to do it, the Isha Sheish Ba Havaya. As long as you can marry this woman, you have to pay a Knas. So by cases of Chiyuvei Karet and cases of Chiyuvei Mitot Beitin, there is no Knas because you can't marry the woman. Below Tiyeli Isha, you cannot accomplish that. Since you cannot have Havaya, since you cannot have Kiddushin with these women, there is no Knas. By Chiyuvei Lav, there is a Knas because you can. Kiddushin Atofsin, Chiyuvei Lavin. That's one possibility. Iged Amrei Arayot Chayuvei Mitot Beitin V'Chayuvei Kretot. That Arayot mean anybody who's subject to Chiyuv Mitat Beitin and a Chiyuv Karet. Shniot Chayuvei Lavin. And Shniot are Chiyuvei Lavin. And none of those are entitled to Knas. Umani. Rabbi Shimon Ben Asyahi. And that's the other person we bumped into before. Rabbi Shimon Ben Asyahi says it has to be a Yisha Ruya L'Kaimah. Has to be a woman that you can maintain after this time. So there, by Chiyuvei Mitat Beitin and Chiyuvei Karet, certainly you can't maintain. You can't even get Kiddushin with her. You can't maintain the woman. But even by Chiyuvei Lavin, where Kiddushin are Tovs, and you're still not allowed to keep this woman as a wife. Since you can't keep her as a wife, she's not subject to Kanas. And that's why you're Patur from Kanas. So the author of our Braita is either Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, or it could be Rabbi Shimon Ben Asya, Shimon HaTemani, who will say that by Chiyuvei Mitat Beitin and Karet, there is no Kanas, because over there you can't have Kiddushin, as opposed to Chiyuvei Lavin, where you can have Kiddushin, there will be a Kanas. Or the author of our Braita could be Rabbi Shimon Ben Asya, and the case there is that nobody gets Knas. Not Chiyuvei Mitat Beitin, not Chiyuvei Karet, not Chiyuvei Lavin, nobody gets a Knas. Why not? Because you can't keep these women as wives afterwards. Therefore, it's not subject to the penalty in the Pasuk, because you can't be Mikayim Lo Tiyeh Le'Isha. So that you can't keep her as a wife. Since you can't keep her as a wife, it's not subject to Knas. Now again, you could have said that it was Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akaneh, who says that Chiyuvei Mitat Beitin, Chiyuvei Karet are commonly derived in Mine. Tosafot says you can't say that over here. Why? Lo v'matzi l'meimar mani Rav Nechunya hi d'lidei lo avikari lo shniot. He wouldn't have called those shniot right. Shemishaveh chayvei kreitot l'chayvei mitot beitin. Since he equates chayuvei kreit with chayuvei mitot beitin, he would not have put them on two levels. So Tosafot says, even though it would have made sense to say that it was Rav Nechunya ben Akaneh, we can't say that because the braita differentiates between kreit and chayuvei mitot beitin. According to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh, there is no difference between them, so there's no reason to delineate them separately. The fact that the Braita delineates them separately makes it clear that it's not from Nechunya ben Akaneh, but rather it must be either Rabbi Shimon ben Asya or Shimon HaTemani. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph.